KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 62 degrees, as Chris mentioned. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Sioux City's Fire Department wants to charge companies for firefighters' responses to ruptures of natural gas lines. The Sioux City Journal reports that a proposal headed for a council vote today would bill the company that causes the break $2,000 for the first hour of response and $250 for each additional 15 minutes. There will be more charges for additional personnel, vehicles, ambulance service, or supplies. The fees would not apply to small leaks that did not require a full response, incidents lasting under 30 minutes, or leaks occurring to above-ground piping inside buildings. Sioux City Fire Rescue estimates it would have received more than $640,000 for its responses to gas line breaks since 2001 if the fee structure had been in place. Officials of the Creston Police Department say there were two arrests over the weekend. 61-year-old Gregory Kaufman of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center Saturday on a Union County warrant for violation of probation. Kaufman was later released on a $300 bond. And 35-year-old Nikki Jones of Creston was arrested Saturday on two Union County warrants for violation of probation on a charge of theft in the fourth degree and violation of probation on a third degree theft charge. Jones was being held in the Adams County Jail where her bond was set at $2,000. Well, the process is underway to select a second company to produce medical marijuana products in the state. The end of May was the deadline for companies to file paperwork with the Department of Public Health requesting a license. And Deputy Director Sarah Reister says they had more interest the first time around.
We received notices of intent to apply for manufacturing licenses from 8 different entities, and we received 4 applications.
And that compares to 9 companies, which indicated they would apply the first time, and just 1 which did apply and received a license. Reister said that it's the time crunch between the law when the law was passed and the requirement to implement it kept more companies from seeking the first license. She said that they got those regulations written as quickly as they possibly could, but due to the requirement to have somebody licensed by December 1st, they were only able to provide potential applicants with 4 weeks to put their applications together, Reister says. And she says that I think it compressed the timeline in the fall of 2017, and she heard from potential applicants that that was a problem for many of them. Also, the applicants are asked a variety of questions about how they intend to grow the marijuana and how they will produce the medical marijuana products. She says the law requires them to keep the names of the applicants for the license confidential until a license is awarded. The proposals are now in the hands of a review board.
After they review the applications, they will score the applications and they'll make a recommendation to the department about who they think is the most qualified applicant.
The health department will then award a second license on July the 1st.
We've afforded, as part of this opportunity, this manufacturer 1 year. So the requirement of the RFP is that they will make product available by July 1st of 2019. Now, there's nothing that would prohibit them from bringing product to market earlier if they're able to do that, but we did give them the same time frame to get up and running as our first licensed manufacturer.
MedFarm Iowa was awarded the first license to produce medical marijuana products, and they're required to have them ready by December 1st of this year. The state has also issued licenses to dispensaries in Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Windsor Heights, Waterloo, and Davenport to sell the products. Well, on the final weekend before the primary election in Iowa, the 5 Democratic candidates for governor began making their final pitches for votes, and Republican Governor Kim Reynolds said that she'll be ready to debate the candidates the Democrats pick. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
A large crowd gathered in an Iowa City brew pub Sunday afternoon to cheer Fred Hubbell, the perceived frontrunner in the Democratic race for governor.
We need to make sure everybody that we know gets out to vote. The more Democrats that get out to vote, the more scared, the more worried we can make that Republican Party, and that's important. We need to show that we're united.
At the same time, rival John Norris was being cheered on by a crowd in a different Iowa City bar. Norris has sharpened his message in the closing days of the contest. During a speech in Albia Saturday night, Norris suggested Hubbell's wealth will be a liability this fall.
The argument in the primary that I'm most electable because I can spend $7 million, and that's what one candidate has spent on this race. It may work for a primary, but think about what you're going to go to your neighbor as you're door knocking next fall. Are you going to make the argument you support a candidate because they have a lot of money and they can spend a lot of money?
Hubbell has contributed $3 million out of the $7 million raised for his campaign. Hubbell says his goal has been to be competitive in all 99 counties.
We have over 3,000 contributors to our campaign. You know, my wife and I are the biggest contributors. We said we always would be, but we have, you know,
several thousand people supporting us because we've worked hard to reach out to people, listen and learn and share our message.
Kathy Glosson hosted a crew of staff and volunteers in her Coralville home Sunday morning before the group set off to knock on doors in Glosson's neighborhood.
There's really excited voters out there that want to get to the polls, and our whole campaign was based on the premise that we want people to get excited so that they will go to the polls and even be willing to wait in line to vote. I'm feeling it.
Candidates Andy McGuire and Ross Wilburn were also out this weekend talking about the need for a blue wave this fall. Governor Reynolds predicts Republican voter turnout on Tuesday will be lower than Democrats because Democrats have their five-way race for governor.
That's just going to generate a lot of turnout. I don't think it's going to be any indication of the general election. We've got a great story to tell. We'll get out there.
Iowans may vote at county auditor's offices today. On Tuesday, voting shifts to precinct locations around the state from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And Iowa's upcoming primary will mark the first statewide test of new law that requires voters to show identification at the polls. State officials and voting advocacy groups say they're keeping a close watch on its rollout Tuesday. The law, which was passed last year and is being phased in, requires voters in 2018 to be asked for approved ID to vote. If someone doesn't have that identification, they can sign an oath verifying their identity and cast a regular ballot. A person without proper identification in 2019 will have to vote by provisional ballot, and that requires the voter to return within a few days with an ID or the ballot won't count. Voting advocacy groups are monitoring the law's implementation, and several county elections officials say they've done extensive training and outreach. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed into law last week state tax cuts of $2.8 billion over 6 years. Touting the benefits for the middle class, most changes in personal income tax rates go into effect in tax year 2019, including lower rates for all income brackets. The tax savings would show up as reduced withholdings from paychecks in 2019 and larger refund checks issued in the spring of 2020. Additional tax cuts are planned in future years. Taking a closer look at Reynolds' statement during a bill signing event in Hiawatha last week, and the more complex reality behind it, Reynolds said that next year virtually every Iowan will see their taxes go down. Here are the facts, though. The governor's statement is mostly true, although there are wrinkles that make the situation a little more complex than she suggests. All nine of Iowa's income brackets will have lower tax rates under the new law. There are about 1.4 million Iowa residents who file state income tax returns, and of those, just over three-fourths would pay less in taxes under the new law, according to an analysis by the State Department of Revenue. Roughly another 18% of Iowa residential taxpayers, or about 265,000 people, earn less than $20,000 annually and either make too little income to owe taxes or receive enough tax credits to cover them. They won't receive a tax cut under the new law, but it doesn't matter because they don't pay state income taxes. And that leaves about 3.5% of Iowa resident taxpayers, or about 50,000, who would actually owe more taxes next year. That's not an insignificant number, but still small compared with the number or those who will benefit. And Des Moines police are investigating an early morning shooting death in a neighborhood west of the downtown metro area. Police say officers were called at around 2:15 a.m. Sunday to a report of shots fired. When they arrived at the home, they learned a shooting victim had been driven by private vehicle to a hospital. A 40-year-old man later died. His name was not immediately released. Police say the shooting appears to be tied to a domestic dispute. And authorities have identified a 60-year-old man who died after crashing his bicycle in eastern Iowa. The Linn County Sheriff's Office's Charles Cephas Peel of Bertram died after the bicycle crash occurred around 9 p.m. Friday. Peel was riding down a steep hill when he fell off the bike. He was taken to an area hospital where he was pronounced dead. Investigators say the man was not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.